Okay, we are in the second week of our State of the Church address, and right off the bat, I would like to. Steve has got some handouts. If you this handout that Steve has, it's going to help you follow along when I get into with this a little bit. So, if you would like one, raise your hand. Steve can give you one. If you don't want one, that's fine. But maybe one per couple or family or something. I only printed 35. So, but it will help you to kind of follow along a little bit what I'm going to talk about today. Last week at the State of the Church, we did kind of a snapshot. We took a picture of kind of where the church is at right now, and we talked about leadership and governance, kind of how is the church run. And we prayed for Justin, one of our pastors, last week. It took some time in the service and prayed for him. Then we talked about our finances. Where is the church at financially? Then we talked about ministries, things that are going on here at the church. So that all happened last week. We had some handouts last week, too, that dealt with church leadership and governance. There's a few of those back on the table back there in the foyer. If you'd like one of those and you can't find one, you can let me know or go on our church website. And all of those documents are on our website as well. Today, week two of the State of the Church, we're going to do a few things. Last week was a snapshot. Today we're going to start with kind of taking a big picture, kind of zooming out a little bit, getting up higher, seeing the church maybe over the last decade or so. Then we're going to look at 2024 in review, kind of what happened last year. We're going to look ahead to 2025. Then Mark's going to come up, and we're going to spend a fair amount of time talking about all of the missions, the missionaries and the mission organizations that we support. And then when we're all done, we'll have time for questions and answers. So anything you hear today as we talk about things, if it sparks a question or if you have a thought, you know, I'm going to talk about things that went well and went poorly perhaps in 2024. You may have ideas about that too. You can share them when we get to that point, and that's fine. This is really kind of a family meeting here. So any questions you have or thoughts you have, we'll have time for that at the end. All right. Here's what we're going to do first. We're going to zoom out a little bit and before we can really understand what happened last year and where we're going this year, we kind of need to zoom out and look at probably the last 10 years or so, and that's where this document might help a little bit. I would say, if you asked me to describe where we've been in the last 10 years, I would say we've been in a rebuild here at Cedar Creek. The big picture is that probably since about 2018, we've been in a rebuild kind of mode. There are reasons for that. There are reasons that we had to rebuild. And you can see there, if you have one of those sheets, we drifted from our historic strengths. We lost the emphasis on our mission and core values. Alongside that, we experienced a loss of trust in pastoral leadership. And we'll get into that here a little bit. There are reasons for that, I think, that all of that happened. In 2010, we planted a church. We sent a team of people down to La Crosse to plant a church. And we sent a lot of kind of core young families, and so a lot of folks who had, you know, were just core people left. There were 30-some. One of our pastors went down as well. So part of it was just there was a big exodus of kind of core people that had been here a long time, and we knew that. And going into it, we did that on purpose with our eyes wide open. But I think that the relational and spiritual cost was higher to that than we thought it would be. There was a loss of relationship, you know, people that you've known for a long, long time. And there's even a spiritual cost to that. We were told if you plant a church, that's kind of getting out there on the forefront of the spiritual battle in some ways, and there'll be pushback. There'll be spiritual pushback for that. We heard that. We expected it. I don't think we expected the intensity of that pushback. So that's one thing that happened in 2010, that church plant, I think, just put us in that situation, which was good. We'd do it again, but it did change kind of our dynamic a little bit. Then that also began a series of crises here at the church that I'd be happy to talk to you more about if you have questions about this. But in 2010, we had a church discipline situation, and that is never fun. That's an agonizing thing. I've been a pastor here for 35 years, I think, and we've only done it twice, and it's painful every time. But we had one pretty involved in 2010. in 2014, 2015, and 2019, we had pastors resign. And that's a big deal when your leadership is turning over and leadership is leaving the church. That creates all kinds of it creates holes, it creates confusion, it creates all kinds of things. But we had that happen three times in 5 years there, from 2014 to 2019. In 2018, the Mark Darling situation, if you're unfamiliar with that, we're affiliated with many churches across the country. One that we're very closely affiliated with is in the Twin Cities. It's a big church. And one of the pastors there, a guy named Mark Darling, who I know well, many of you know Mark, he was accused of some improprieties. There was a big investigation. He was exonerated of most things except for being inappropriate in some ways, but regardless of what happened, that started a whole, it wasn't a ripple effect, it was more like the dam burst. That was a big thing where that impacted us here a lot, because Mark had been here speaking, and just it was in the time in our culture where those kinds of issues were very elevated, and so that really hit us here at Cedar Creek hard. And so we went from, in the spring, tag on my shirt here. And I'm like Minnie Pearl. You guys don't, anyone? Never. That is another older man joke. We went in the spring, early 2018, we were bumping up to 400 people here at the church. By the time the Mark Darling thing kind of ended in 2019, we were down to just a little over 100, perhaps, and then COVID hit. And I think the first Sunday we came back from COVID, there might have been like 35 of us here or something like that. But numbers isn't the only way you gauge a church. But a lot of people left, and the reason that they left, the reasons that they gave, Mark and I tried to talk to everybody who left. What was it? And there was just a lot of dissatisfaction with things in the church. And that's really that third thing there where it says church body. I think the biggest thing was there was a lack of pastoral oversight and transparency. And that falls to me. Mark wasn't a pastor at that point. Neither was Justin. That was me and a few other men. But there was a lot of things that we did, a lot of ways that we conducted ourselves that created, really, really helped create an attitude of suspicion and distrust. And that falls a lot to us as a pastoral staff. There wasn't any big hidden thing that was happening. It was just more the attitude, I think, that we had as pastors that was contributing to that. A lot of the people that came in were transfer growth, and that can be very, very good. But when you get the majority of the people in the church coming from somewhere, and they have different core values, different backgrounds, it's just harder to meld together. So I think we were kind of a big church, but not very connected, not very united with each other. And you throw in all these different things, it really kind of knocked a hole in us. And so that all happened. So the good thing about God, He's so good. He teaches us. He leads us. And failure is, or mistakes or things going wrong are never the key, are never the end. Because God always says, well, what are you going to do now? Here, take my hand. Take my hand. Let's go forward. We all fail. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we look back and think, gosh, I wish I could have done that differently. Well, as a church, that certainly happened to us. So we started to do that, saying, Lord, okay, what should we change? What should we do differently? So we really began to kind of rebuild a little bit. And you can see here the rebuild efforts, just different kind of milestones. One of the things we did is that pastoral leadership and authority paper, and that's one of the documents out there. You might want to take a look at it. We talked about it last week. We really thought through, okay, what does the role of pastor look like? What kind of authority does a pastor have? How does a pastor function? What's the way that you work through a dispute with a pastor? How is a pastor held accountable? How are pastors appointed? All of that stuff. We really worked through it and then got it down on paper so that it was very, very discoverable. Everybody could see this is what a pastor does, this is how a pastor functions, this is how that whole thing works. And so we worked on that. It took some time. And if you're interested in that, there's one or two back there. You can get it on our website. That was in 2019. In 2020, we did a redo of our core values. And what we did is we just took our core values, which we've had for decades, I would say, maybe 30 years, we've had these same set of core values. And we looked at them and thought, okay, are these still our core values? Is this still what we think is important? Are these the ways that we want to function? And we decided that they were, but we rewrote them a little bit. And out there on the literature rack, I wish I'd have grabbed one of those booklets. There's a little booklet out there that has our core values, our vision, and our mission in it. Greg, can you run and get one of them for me and just hold it up so people can see it? That is also on our website, our core values. But we redid that, just took a look at them. Is this really still what we think is important? Yes. Okay, let's just kind of rework it, rethink it. That was in 2020. In 2022, we did the same thing with our vision and mission. What's our vision? What's our mission? What are we shooting for? They're looking for one desperately. I sent Greg on a wild goose chase. I knew there was none out there. He's going to look for 10 minutes and never find them. We do have them somewhere. Is Claire here? Claire knows everything. Claire, see if you can find those. Mark, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Mark took them all, I think. You can find them on our website as well, but we do have printed booklets. We'll hopefully find some. We did the same thing in 2022 with our vision and our mission. We brought this up. All of you probably remember these things. We talked about them on a Sunday morning, and we looked at our vision and mission, and what is it? What are we shooting for, and how are we going to get there? And we spent some time thinking about that. Here we go. Is that it? That's the one. Okay, it's a little booklet that says Statement of Faith on it, but it also has our core values in it, our vision and our mission and all of that stuff. Are there some of them out there, Gregor? Yeah. Okay, you can grab one. If you can't, okay, that's the one right there. So they're also on our website. You can find them there as well. Then lastly, in our rebuild effort, a couple years ago, we decided we wanted to sync our calendar to our core values and mission. In other words, look at what we do on a regular basis and are the things that we're doing getting us to where we want to go. You know, just kind of evaluating. We're doing all this stuff. Is it matching up with our vision and mission? Are there things we need to do differently? Are there things we should stop doing? Are there new things we should do? That was in 2023. So all of that happened in the last decade or so. Okay, now with that as a big picture, we're going to look at 2024. We're going to look specifically at last year and ask the question, well, how did it go? How is 2024? Well, I think that there were some things that went extremely well in 2024. Here's some that I thought of. One is the finances, and Mark talked about that last week. God has been very gracious to us. You folks have been very generous. We are financially secure. We are very financially secure. And again, that's not the biggest indicator of health at all, but it is a tool, and it allows us to do all kinds of things. So we've been financially secure for some time. One of the things it helped us to do is to get back involved on campus. It's something we'd been involved with for years at different times. We'd kind of gotten away from campus, but a few years back, because we had money, we went to the leaders at CREW here at Eau Claire and just said, hey, can we partner with you guys financially? You know, we have resources, other things you could do with money. And so we've been working with the leadership at CREW for the last 3 years, I think, just, funding different things for them. And that's opened the door to have more of an impact on campus and college students. And that's been really, really good. And that grew in 2024 as well. Mark's going to talk about missions. We support a lot of missions, and we do a lot of short-term missions things, both internationally and stateside and even locally. That's something that we do a lot of, and that's been in the last several years. We've gotten better and better at that. Mark's going to talk about that more, but that's been really good. Last year, we celebrated our 50th anniversary as a church. 50 years, and we had a big party last summer. It was really fun. We put up a big old tent, and we had people come back from the 70s and, it's amazing when you think about 50 years, all the people that have gone through. But it was sweet just to kind of have a family reunion a little bit of the Cedar Creek family. We did that, and one thing that I think is easy to miss is just this. In Acts 2, I'm going to read a few verses here, starting with verse 42. It says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." You know, there's so much in there about the life of the church, but one of the big themes in that passage is they met together. They were together. They knew each other, and they spent time together. And we can lose the sight of the fact that we do that, and that is very, very good. Sometimes we think, well, that's just nothing. Having a church service on Sunday morning, having life groups, having times when we gather together, well, that's nothing. No, that's not nothing. That is so much of what God asks of us. That is so much of how a church functions well. And we've all done that. And so I want us to remember that just this right here, I think, is a glory and honor to God. It's a blessing to us. And so in many ways, 2024 went really well. Some things in 2024 that maybe did not go as well. I had said that in 2023 we had wanted to sync the calendar to our core values and our vision and mission. That really didn't happen. We kind of dropped the ball on that, and last year we had wanted to do that again, and it kind of just didn't happen. We do a lot of really good things, and again, this is talking about looking at what we do, our activities, and are they getting us to our vision and mission? Are they along the lines of our core values? There's a lot of things we do super, super well. I just wish we would have been more intentional, perhaps, in this last year, really looking at what things need to happen in order to accomplish our vision and mission. Are the things we're doing getting us there? It's still something we can do. We just didn't do it as well as I wish that we would have. We had kind of set that on the table before us, and we didn't get it done, and that wasn't quite as good. One thing also about 2024 is we're understaffed in some key areas, some key aspects of church life, particularly the kids stuff over there, nursery and Sunday school. You know, that's a big part of what we do. One of our core values is strong families, and that means all kinds of things. One of the things it means is that we're helping our kids to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. And as a church family, we can really be part of that together. Part of that is Sunday school and nursery. Part of that is meeting together. It allows us to meet together on a Sunday morning. So it's a big deal in what we do here, and it's always a little bit of a fight to get volunteers. Music, you can see there was a time, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, probably right before 2010, we had three full bands. We had a full horn section for a while. It was so much fun. It was like the Tonight Show every Sunday here. And we just don't have the musicians that we once did. And so that's something that we would love to see grow again. Life group leaders. You know, we have lots of times where people meet, and we're always looking for more life group leaders. I think the young families, there's one life group, and it's really big. I think lots and lots and lots of young families. I think you guys have like 60 kids or something, if everybody shares. Maybe not quite that many. It's a lot of kids. It could have more life groups. So those are areas that we really could, that, you know, looking back at 2024, these are things that, okay, that wasn't maybe as good. All right, 2025 preview. Where are we going this year? And this is on the back side of that page there. And I'm going to just share that two things that we're really kind of leaning into in 2025. One is working with young leaders in the church. And it says there, get a core of young men or couples to champion our vision, mission, and core values. Just find young leaders who will look at the church and say, you know what, I can champion that aspect of it, whatever it might be, music perhaps. You know what, I can take that. I'm going to take that on and really work to make that happen. Evangelism, perhaps. You know what, if there was someone with the gift of evangelism that said, I really want to kind of rally people and create opportunities are there young men who can step into that? And so we've been working. I've been spending time, Justin and I have been spending time this last year, and we're continuing into this year with meeting with a group of younger couples and just talking about that. And there's more of them I'm seeking to draw into that, so that there are young men, young couples stepping into leadership in the church, taking on those aspects. And I like the word championing them, saying this is that thing right there, that Sunday school, whatever it is, I can do that, and I can rally people, and I can raise the banner, and I can lead the charge. We're really looking for that, and I'm hoping for gifted, passionate men and women who can step into those things as they lead us toward our core values. That's something that I'm spending a lot of my time with. We talked last week, I'm backing out of things more and more. That's something I'm leaning into more and more, spending time with those young leaders so that they can lead the church. But part of that is getting a core of older men to mentor and shepherd those younger men. You know, we have so much strength and character and experience in this church that we want, you know, the younger men to be looking to those older men for help. Same with the younger women looking to the older women for help. We really want to help make that happen. And in 2025, that's something Mark and I are gonna work on more, is to really try to help make that happen. So that's one thing that in 2025 we're thinking about. And then lastly, last thing I'm going to say, and Mark's going to come up talk about missions, is in 2025 we're looking to evaluate our meeting structure. And on this sheet here, if you have it, when I think about the church, when I look back on the church, you know, that nothing's ever the same. Everything is a little bit different. But sometimes there are patterns that you can see. And it occurred to me here several months ago that the situation we're in right now in the mid 2020s is very similar to the situation we were in as a church in the mid-1990s. And you can see there, in the mid-90s, it was post-crisis. There had been an exodus from the church for different reasons, but the church, Dave Lenander, the guy who was a pastor before me, said he came on, the other two pastors left, and Dave grew the church from 100 to 20. And and that was so. It was just a really hard time for the church back in the mid 90s. But there was a solid core of people that had weathered the storms. They were just committed to being there. There was an increasing college population in the mid 90s. I had gotten involved in the church through the campus ministry back in the 80s, but then it kind of faded away. But there in the mid 90s, we were getting college students coming back again. We had a lot of visitors, but they didn't stay. They would come, they'd be there for a little while, and then they'd disappear. But we did have a young pastor on staff. That was me. I was young 30 years ago, and a young guy on staff. And so we looked at it and thought, we'd love God to see more things happen. What's the solution? Well, Dave really spearheaded the solution for us was a new location and a new building. And there's such a story behind that. We owned a building downtown. We sold it for $50,000. That was all the money we had in the world. This building here was sitting over there before the bypass was there. This building was there. It was a Waterworks Waterbeds. It was a waterbeds showroom. We rented it from the state. The state had bought it. They'd condemned it because they were going to build the bypass. So it was just sitting there empty, waiting to get bulldozed. We rented it from the state, put our entire $50,000, every nickel we had, into renovating this building, knowing it was going to get bulldozed in 3 years. We thought, we have to do something. And we just felt like God was saying, take this radical step. Just do it. So we did. And I remember standing up here and just praying, Lord, I just pray that you would use this to win souls. And he did. People started to come. We saw people come. People would get saved. It really began kind of a renaissance for us as a church of really stepping into all the things that are important, sharing the gospel, seeing men and women believe in the Lord and be added to our number. What it said at the end there of Acts 2, where, you know, God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. We saw that happen. Well, now in the mid-20s, I look at us and we're very similar. It's post-crisis, all the things that I just talked about. We kind of come through these crises. There's a solid core of people. That's us. You know, weathered the storms. There's an increasing college population. We're seeing that younger crowd come back a little bit. Minimal growth. We get visitors, but we're not really growing as a church. And there's a young pastor on staff. That's Justin, a young guy who's in his 30s, who is on staff and excited to go. So it's very similar to where we were in the 90s. Well, what's the solution now? Well, we don't need a new building. This is a great building. It's a great location. So we're looking at possibly evaluating our meeting structure. really looking at what we do on Sunday mornings, really looking at what we do with life groups, maybe changing things a little, maybe changing things a lot. We're not sure. It's something that the advisory council is going to be leaning into here this next year, really looking at that and saying, God, is there something we can do that would really open the door to help us to do the things you want us to do, to bless each other, to grow in discipleship, to understand you more, to evangelize more, to win more and more people to you? Are there things we can do on a Sunday morning on our life groups, perhaps a home group, a different form of meeting all together where it's more kind of cross-denominational? It's something that we're going to look at in 2025. And the advisory council, we talked about that last week, that's something we're going to ask them about. And if you have thoughts about that as we go forward, we'll certainly bring that up. So that's where we are. I presented a whole lot of information. Think about it. We'll have time afterward to ask questions about that. Now Mark's going to talk about missions, where we're at.
What did it say?
Oh, here's your tag.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Well, thanks, Rob. That was great. We have, like Rob said, there's all kinds of great things going on, and some of the great things are we have resources that we're able to use to hopefully further the gospel locally and nationally, internationally. So we want to look at a little bit of that this morning. A few years ago, we changed how we related as churches to a regional organization. We used to send a 10% to the region, and then they supported a number of missionaries. And so we were kind of supporting missionaries once removed. We didn't have a real direct contact. And so I think it's 3 years ago, we changed how that worked, and so now we deploy those resources directly, and it's been such a blessing. And we have the opportunity to support those. And I have a verse in 3 John. I was just looking at it again this morning. And in 3 John, John is commending this gentleman Gaius for his treatment and encouragement and support for other Christians. And says, "Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name. Accepting nothing from the Gentiles, therefore we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." And we have the opportunity as a church to be fellow workers for the truth in just a number of different ways. And so we have a committee of people here in the church that evaluate different and prayerfully consider different missionaries and missions, and then they make a recommendation each year to the Board of Trustees for how we ought to dispense that money and distribute that money. And so they have determined these organizations. I'm going to jump a couple slides. I think this is the missions committee. Sarah Spencer, Kelsey Bomber, Gene Litzko, and Don Breedle. And they are the ones that carefully consider how to use that resource. Yes. Yeah. Correct. But, yeah. And so they have, this last year, chosen to recommend these organizations. So if you could, we support Hope Gospel. We'll go over each one of these in this order. So Hope Gospel, first of all, many of you, if you've been in Eau Claire for any length of time, you've heard of Hope Gospel Mission. They are an organization. They have they work with folks who are without housing, people that have addictions, people have a variety of needs. You can go to that next slide. They have a short stay program, providing short stay program. They also have Renewed Hope. That's a long term program of work and preparing people to provide for themselves and recover from addiction. They have quite a program. They are collaborating more and more with other organizations in town, and we wholeheartedly support them. They have just looking at their website, they have a great set of values that line up. Their first value is dependence on God. God's our provider, and we'll depend on Him and not the government for our support. Evangelism is their second, that they would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ as the power to change lives. So that's a great organization. We support them on a monthly basis and are glad to do that. And then the next one is Great Commission Latin America, and it's a church in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Dagoberto Arias, he's a gentleman. We've had a connection with Dago for years and years. He's the guy in the red shirt and the gray hair with glasses hanging. There he is. We began sending short-term mission trips down when he was a pastor in Honduras. He and his family basically had to flee Honduras 10 years ago, I guess it is, 2015. Because of some gang threats on his life and his family's life, and they reestablished and planted a church in Santo Domingo. And they have a great program, and I'm going to we have sent a short-term mission trip there recently. In fact, they got home last night at 10:30 or so. Don, you want to come up? Don's going to just share a few thoughts about them. They have a multifaceted outreach ministry that Don will share with you about.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I guess I was voted to say something because your prayers worked. I recovered from a real serious GI bug that hit right about the time I got in Paul Fila's van last week. So it was nothing in the food in the Caribbean that hit me. But not only your prayers, but your financial support. You may remember we were raising $8,000 to build a tiny home for a family. And we got a couple pictures. I think if Luke could bring them up. Here's the group that traveled. We will give a little longer story here in a few weeks, but this is the short version. There were six from the Fila family and three from the Breedle family, so nine of us. We spent the week, number one, tearing down an old house and digging the footers and pouring the concrete for the new house. Is there a picture perhaps of the pink house? Yeah. Oh, the pink. Oh, the pink had been new paint. Ah, okay. So this is the lady Wendy, whose house we tore down. Believe it or not, it took just a little over 1 hour with the nine of us and many, many locals that pitch in. Their church just attracts young, old, and neighbors and everybody. It only took about an hour to tear that thing down and put the lumber in one pile, the metal in one pile, and the post that actually held the thing up instead of studs in yet a third pile. And most of that, if not all, will be reused in some manner or other. Is there yet another picture? So here we are digging the footers. Again, it's a combination of the locals, and that's my son Yuri on the left. So we spent 2 days digging the footers and 1 day pouring the concrete. The other thing we did, I don't know if you have a slide, but going to the children's hospital two times, and then there's an after-school program that they work with the kids. So there's really three components to their ministry, the building, the children's hospital ministry, and then the after-school program. So from what I could tell from our week there, our investments both in prayer and money is very, very well spent in this supporting this ministry. I think that's it.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. So that's Dominican Republic. And the third mission we support is Run Global. That's an organization that is primarily an evangelistic organization in South Asia, in Nepal, and now more so in India. They send out evangelism teams and train people to continue that process and reach the unreached in South Asia. Do you have that slide, a picture? There they are. That's Mike and Sue Cater. They've been doing this kind of work for many years, and they are carrying on there in South Asia. The fourth organization that we support is Feed My Lambs International. Gary Sandman, many of you remember, I think he was here. He spoke on a Sunday morning in August, I think. And there's Gary and Minnie and their daughter, I believe. And they have a two-pronged mission there. They have a ministry center that they use for all number of things. They have youth camps. They hold gatherings of various folks. They have weddings, lodging for short-term mission teams, baptisms, all sorts of things at this at the ministry center. And then they have a children's home some distance away that they receive kids that are in need of a safe place to live. And could you have that next slide there, Luke? And then the next one. And you might recognize some of these folks. This is the Spencer family. They have been going to help Gary and Minnie most years for a long time. Last year, they were there for about 6 weeks, I think. And I took this from Gary's newsletter. Gary puts out a newsletter every month, most months. And if you'd like to hear about this mission, he puts together just a really informative and encouraging newsletter. And yet Gary, as you might remember, he's a very honest speaker. He tells how difficult it is to minister day after day. But it's just such an encouragement. But he indicated in the newsletter that the Spencer family mission got extended. They were there for a month, extended a couple more weeks. Lots of cement and shoveling. Sarah and the kids made about 39 bed bases for camp and moved lots of rocks. So we have a connection there, and we support Gary and his ministry each month as well. And then the next one is, I think that's the last slide for the Feed My Lambs. No, I get the thumbs up. Pioneer Bible Translators. Amy, if you'd like to make your way up here. Amy, those of you streaming the stream will go dark here. In light of some sensitive information. So, all right. And the sixth organization we support is More Rejoicing Ministries. It's Travis Barton and his wife Paula and their family. They reach out to the Hispanic population in the St. Croix County area. He's reached out among the building relationship with farmers that employ many of these immigrants. They've started a church meeting in Cumberland, and they provide English classes. Their daughter, what's her Terry? Tori, thank you, Tori. Tori has graduated school, and now she's working in the ministry. She's providing She's editing her dad's podcast. He's found that that's an effective way to connect with that population is through podcasts. She's providing English classes. She volunteers at a free clinic as a translator. So they are reaching out into that community here in Wisconsin, as well as they have a southern border ministry as well in the Texas-Mexico border area where they Travis preaches outreach down there. And recently he was down preaching at several drug rehab centers, etc. I think we've got a picture of the church gathering at Christmas time. This is a picture of the Hispanic church, their Christmas visit. It's a Christmas card they sent us. Luke, you have that, the whole, well, there they are, enjoying a Christmas meal. They sent us a thank you for our support, and they appreciate that as they minister. And then lastly, I believe, is Sacred City Church in Providence, Rhode Island. Jacob and Sasha Van Sickle have been out there 3-4 years now, reaching out in Providence. And we've been supporting them financially and with short-term missions. Jacob reported that they are really, they're seeing salvations, they're seeing baptisms. They've been reaching out on several college campuses. There's three campuses that are that they have connections on. They now have enough students at all of those campuses to hold Bible studies. They are continuing to reach out. They do community carnivals, etc. And their finances are proceeding. Jacob was at a point where he felt he may have to seek a secular job, and he says now it looks like they're going to be more or less self-reliant financially by late summer, and so they're encouraged by that. Just wanted to share a story. He talked about one of the people who recently became a Christian. Her name was Laura, and she was raised as an atheist. She knew nothing of the gospel. She came to the church for the family festival that our short-term mission team sponsored last summer. Was it August? A year and a half ago. Okay. And she came then, and she got acquainted with a few people. She came to church a few times, and then she came to another gathering of the church, and then became much more interested and began coming to church. And he sent us a text message that he received several weeks ago, and Laura became a Christian at church today. She told me this. I asked God, "God, show me if you're the way." And he said, "I am." And I replied, "I will follow." It's a precious moment I'll never forget. And like Jacob said, that's began with the work that a team from here at Cedar Creek did. So that's such a blessing. That's why we support these missions, is it makes a difference in individuals' lives, like Laura. So that's the rundown on our mission support. And now we are going to open it up. I think we failed. What's that? Oh, there he is. We do have last week before we opened up for questions, before the service, we said we need to repeat the questions. We didn't do that. I got an email from a friend who's out of town, and he listened. He said, "Boy, next time repeat the questions." I said, "Okay." So we do have a wireless mic, so if when you have a question or a comment, and again, if you, going back to Rob's presentation, if you have things that you feel went really well in 24, things you're thankful for, this would be a great time to share that. If there's things that you would like to see in 2025 or any input you might have, we are ready and listening.
I impugned the reputation of my wonderful friend Greg. He was right there. I just couldn't see him. I'm just old and I can't see anymore. Yeah, questions, thoughts, comments, questions about anything we shared here.
Right.
Last week, if you've thought about things, questions about where we're going in 2025, thoughts. Yeah. Hold on. The mic's coming.
Last week you said there will be another young pastor. What timeline are we looking at for that to start?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I intended in my presentation to talk about that. It's Ryan Rudek. Where's Ryan? Ryan, stand up. Ryan and Nikki are right here. We've been... I'm sorry, brother. Thank you. We've been talking to Ryan about this for a year at least, maybe, Ryan. Maybe a year and a half we've been talking about it. So we've started the process, and what that is the character the qualifications for a pastor are character. You see them in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. You can go look at them, and it's and God lays out, here are the character qualities of a man who's going to be an elder or a pastor. And so we start there. And so we're working with Ryan, with Nikki, his wife, with people who know Ryan well, on evaluating those character qualities, seeing does he match those qualifications. If so, we've worked through a lot whether this is something that they're eager to do, because you have to kind of, it's something that the Holy Spirit does. And so that was really the first thing, and that's been going on for the last year and a half. Now we're at the point where we're evaluating character. As we go forward, the next step after this will be to open it up for input and let people, all of us, just speak into it. What do we think? Is this a good idea? Is this not a good idea? We don't have an exact timeline, but we're probably, I would guess, if we get through the character evaluation, you know, probably late spring, early summer perhaps, but that's not for sure. And one of the things that we'll do, too, is as we get farther down the line, we'll give Ryan a chance to come up and to kind of share his heart and where he's at with the whole thing. But that'll be down the line a bit. Good question. Thank you for reminding me. Here it comes. Hold on. Wait.
So, like, from a missions perspective, I'm curious, why did the church choose to support, like, smaller, more individual missionaries instead of, the missionary-like companies, but, like, the missionary...
mission
like
organizations.
The mission organizations.
Yeah, we could we could ask the mission team, but I think I would respond to... we've really looked to... find and support those that we can have a direct connection to, rather than send our money to some big organization and say, well, do with it whatever you want. We have, for the most part, we have individuals that we can have direct contact with, you know, like with Gary Sandman from Feed My Lambs. When he's in the area, he lets us know and he says, hey, I'd be glad to speak on Sunday. And we get to see him face to face. And that's so much, I believe, as a church, there's just a connection there that just writing a check to some organization we don't have. Is that fair for those on the mission team? Am I representing it correctly? Yeah. Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah.
We got one here.
I just want to say what an encouragement it was with our 50th anniversary celebration. That was just phenomenal and such a good reminder of God's faithfulness. You know, I appreciate your transparency about ways that we have not done well or problems. You know, there's always struggles, but God has been so faithful. And just to connect with those people from 50 years ago who are still walking with the Lord. And so I just think that was incredible. Yeah. I'm so glad we did that.
Yeah. That was a blessed weekend.
Hello. I just want to thank both of you men and Justin for all that you do, but the gal that was up here a few minutes ago, Amy, was talking, and I'm just wondering where she lives in the Middle East. What, you know, her talked about her work visa. What, can you speak more to that?
I don't know. Can we, Amy? Or?
Yeah.
Chat afterward.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. We got another John. John's winning right now. You guys got to.
How'd you know I wanted to win church? That's great. you asked for like things that went well. I just wanted to say thank you to all of you, the pastors especially, for leading the church well. I think you all know what, you know, you've heard my story a lot, but you all know how I started at this church, and you know the things I struggled with when I came here, the things that I, you know, God's allowed me to help get better with, and also the things I continue to struggle with. And one thing I say is, like, I appreciate you all because you've actually been a family. Like, I live 16 hours from my own, and every single one of you, every Sunday, you're happy to see me, you're happy to see my friends. Even though, you know, maybe we're not as older as all of y'all, and you embrace that, right? What I mean by that is that we're still younger, and I would say, like, at least for myself, I'm immature, right? And I appreciate you every single time for taking a chance on me, especially to help out with the children's ministry, and especially every single one of you, every time I've asked to meet with you, you have poured into me, and you have poured into the rest of the people in this room. And so I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, because I hope you know, especially for you all up there and also for you all that just, you know, not just come here on Sundays, but who may not be on a team or whatever, that it is making an impact in other people's lives. Just by saying hi, just by being nice to somebody, just by showing them the love of God, for someone who struggles to see the love of God, you all show it to me and help me believe that. And I know that I've talked to other people that have maybe come to this church and gone to other churches. People are Christians. People have a better understanding of God and have a better desire to continue to be having a relationship with God because of the things that you've done in their lives. And so this church is special to me, and I hope you know what you're doing from the bottom to the top is actually doing stuff for God's glory. So keep up the good work.
Thanks, John. That's nice. That's sweet to hear. Yeah, it's a family. We really are in this together. Maybe one or two more questions? Anyone? Or thoughts, comments? Yeah, John won. That's it. That's, no, really. Other questions or thoughts? Yeah, one more. One more, and then we'll...
Sandy back there?
Yeah.
I'm Sandy. We came in the middle of the Mark Darling crisis, and we were smashed in the middle of it because our son was the pastor under Mark to hold things together while Mark was going through this crisis and everybody else was. And so we were buried in it with our son and his wife, and we had a child here going through the crisis here. And so I just want to thank everybody for being patient, because it took me a while to get my sea legs here, because I just was like, who do I believe? What's going on? Who are my friends? How do I take care of my kids? So just thank you all for being the church that I needed.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you. That was a hard time. Families go through those kinds of things. Armies go through attacks. I mean, and that was a hard time for us as a church. But, yeah, God is good. All right.
Let's pray. Thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for being here. God, we thank you that you are the faithful one. We follow you by your grace. It's your grace that draws us to you. It's your grace that sustains us. It's your grace that allows us to do any good. Thank you for the community that we are. Thank you that we're a family. Thank you that in many small ways, we extend your love to one another. help us to do that more and more. I think of that verse, don't grow tired of doing good. Don't grow tired of doing good. Don't give up. I pray that we would not give up doing good, not give up trusting you, not giving up believing that you have a plan for us as individuals and as a church. Your plan isn't always just brighter every day, but in it, by faith we can walk and see you more and more clearly. The path of the righteous is like the dawn, getting brighter and brighter. And we pray that we would see your goodness and magnify you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let me send you with this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cool. Amen. Thank you.